All right, if you will, take your Bible. Let's go to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2, if you will. We've got folks that we need to pray for. I came in and Miss Kathy came to me and said, put me on the prayer list. She's got to have some tests run to see how she's doing, all right? So you pray for her if you would. She'd get those test runs, and everybody will say, man, you're in great shape. No problem, you know. You can go back to running marathons. All right. No, you're not going to do that? Yeah. All righty. But anyway, pray for her. If you would, I got an email asking us to pray for our missionary, Brother David Cato. His mom passed away. She was 82. She passed away on her birthday. So if you would remember to pray for his family, if you will, during this time. Also pray for the Jensens. Those, they're some of the missionaries we support out on the Navajo Reservation. Mrs. Jensen had a miscarriage, so pray for them. Pray for Mrs. Poe's sister. Mrs. Poe talked with my wife and ask us to pray for her. She is in pretty serious condition. So you would pray for her during this time. She's on she's intubated, and they tried to take her off and wasn't able to. They were going to try a little later again. But do pray for her if you would. And so just ask the Lord to meet those needs. Keep praying for Brother Pike's son, Chris. If you will, keep praying for Mrs. Grimes, all right? She's going through some health issues, so pray for her if you would. Remember them. Anybody else got somebody we need to pray for? Maybe that we don't already know about? Remind you to just keep praying for the folks on the prayer list. They need your prayer, all right? And they need to hear from heaven, you know? You like to hear that the Lord's taken care and taken over and got you under control, all right? So pray for them if you would. All right, Exodus chapter 2, if you will, tonight. Exodus chapter 2, let's begin reading in verse 1, right? Exodus 2, verse 1. The Bible said, and there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. Behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter. He became her son, and she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. When Moses came on the scene, the children of Israel were in bondage to a bum in a borrowed land. They were in bondage to Pharaoh. Chapter 1 tells us that a Pharaoh came on the scene who knew not Joseph, and he began to oppress God's people. They were going through some terrible times. Now, you and I today, we're slipping in a sinful land because of Satan, all right? And we have to deal with him. And maybe in many respects we're better off than the Hebrews were, but we also have a precarious situation that we deal with. Their situation was more on the physical side, all right? They were being abused physically, made to work as slave laborers, and that always making that labor harder. And today, our situation is more spiritual, I think, that we face and we have to deal with. And in that day, what was necessary for the Israelis and those Jews that were in Egypt was they needed a leader. They needed a leader to come on the scene for them. Lee Robertson said years ago, everything rises and falls on leadership. I remember hearing him say that on more than one occasion. They needed leaders in that day. We need more leaders in our day. I'll be honest with you, I'm grateful for the leader we have at the head of our country right now. I'm grateful for the things that they're doing and trying to weed out the waste that's been there for years. And I hope they'll be successful, and I hope a lot of politicians will wake up. And maybe some of them be thrown out, you know. But we need more late leaders in our day. And, hey, maybe it's you. Maybe it's you. Maybe you're the one that needs to step up and get into that position of leadership. And if that be so, I think we can look just a little bit tonight at Moses, and what happened to Moses and what was there can help us. I believe this. I believe Moses was the miracle man that God sent for the situation that they were facing. You say, why do you figure that? Well, look, first of all, he had godly parents. Now, that's rare. It's so rare in our day, it seems to be a miracle. But he had godly parents. I believe that they had what we today would call salvation. They knew the Lord. They knew the Lord. They knew him. They knew him intimately. They because of that, they brought up their children to know the Lord. And Moses' mom, even though she was a hired hand, if you will, I believe she instilled in Moses, just in that short, relatively short while that she was his nurse, she instilled in him things that stuck with him. So when it came time for God to speak to him out of that burning bush, Moses knew who God was. And he had some godly parents. They had salvation. They knew what it was to know the Lord. Look, there's nothing more important for people today than they know God, that they know him as their personal Savior. You need to know you're born again, all right? You need to rehearse your salvation in your mind on a regular basis. You need to go back to that day you got saved. And you need to keep that memory fresh. It doesn't need to get old, all right? It doesn't need to get burdensome. Hey, that day you got in severe trouble in school, you can let that memory fade, all right? But don't let that memory fade when you first met the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep that fresh, all right? You need to know that. Boy, they had salvation. Not only that, I'm just going to say it this way, they had sense. You say, what do you mean they had sense? They had enough sense not to obey Pharaoh. They had enough sense not to obey him. Look in verse 22 of chapter 1. Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. Two verses later, the Bible said Moses' mom, she conceived, woman conceived, bare a son, and did not even think of, well, let's chunk him in the river. Hey, they had enough sense to not obey Pharaoh. Man, it's a good thing to have some folks that's got a little sense. Got a little sense, enough sense to have some spiritual discernment. We live in a day where that's lacking. Lacking. You ought to work in your heart, in your life, to have spiritual discernment. You ought to put that to the test. You ought to have some sense. I deal with people all the time that seem to have no sense. They don't have any sense. They do the craziest things. Do the goofiest things. You know, you would think, hey, if you were thinking, you would not do that. And it's not bad enough they do it once, but they'll do it again and again and get the same bad results every time, but keep doing it. Hey, people need some sense. You need that. And when I say sense, really, I'm talking about spiritual discernment. You ought to get enough of the scripture in you and have enough of the relationship with the Holy Spirit who's in you that allow him to lead you and guide you. He's there to guide you into all truth, all right? We need some spiritual discernment. You say, why? I'll get to that in a little bit, all right? But you need that discernment. His parents had enough sense to say, we're not going to do what he said. Hey, they knew a wrong law when they heard one. They knew one when they heard one. They knew that law's senseless. We're not going to do that. And so they didn't. She hit him, all right? She hit him and decided, hey, I'm going to do my best to take care of him. Not only that, I believe they were godly parents because they had some standards. He said, how do you know that? Because they raised some kids who had some principles about them. They raised some kids that had some principles. You don't do that without standards. Look, folks, you ought to have some godly standards you live by in your life. They ought to be there. I mean, it just ought to be in you, and you ought to have them set up and go with it. I remember years ago working with teenagers, and I told teenagers, look, if your parents don't have any rules for you, you set them. You set them. You develop those guidelines. I'm always kind of, I guess the word is amused. I'm online, and I'll go online, and I'll see these things, you know, 12 or 15 or 17 things you used to do that are now considered, you know, outdated and all that. And some of those, sometimes they'll say that teenagers used to have to live by. And some of them, it just amounts to their parents had some standards for them. They had some rules. That's not outdated. That's intelligent. That's intelligent, all right? Now, there's, two teenagers here, okay? Two teenagers here. Hey, I hope your parents have some standards. They ought to draw some lines in the sand for you and say, hey, this is the way you're going to do. You're going to do this. You're going to do what's right. This is the rule. You're going to live by that rule. Well, I don't like it. You don't have to like it. Just live by it. Live by it. Now, most of you in here are not teenagers. Some of us are way past that. But wait a minute. You still need standards. You still need standards. You need some rules by which you live. You need some principles. And it ought to come out of the Word of God. It ought to come from the Word of God. There ought to be things that you've gone through and decided, this is the way I will conduct myself. I will live this way. I'll be honest with you. My parents, I think about this. My parents always told my brother and I, you'll be home at midnight. That was a curfew, if you will. You will be home at midnight. And we were. I'll say this to you. Now I've got a stronger standard. I don't want to be out until midnight. I'd rather be home. You said, why? Because of what happens. Man, what happens to people? It's amazing. You're a lot more likely to be involved in a crash with a drunk driver the later you're out at night. Hey, doesn't it make just good sense to come home? You know, when you can't go anywhere else, you ought to be able to go home, all right? Go home, good place to be. Look, standards in your life. For the way you deal with other people, you ought to have some standards. Surely one of those ought to be that you're going to be an honest person. An honest person. I've been at the store and have them give me more change than I gave them. They gave me more money back than I gave them to pay for what was there. Because people today aren't sharp, you know, sometimes. And sometimes you just mind goes somewhere else, you know. You're not thinking. I didn't look at that as a windfall. I was at Whataburger the other day and went through the drive-thru and they told me a price. When I got up there, man, they hand me this money. And I go, well, that's not what you said. And so by that time, she had already gone back. And so I'm standing there, I'm sitting there holding that money, waiting on her to come back. And I said, "Hey, what'd you tell me I owed you?" And she told me, and this time it was a different amount. And I said, "Well, okay, that makes sense, because otherwise you gave me too much money, all right?" Hey, we ought to be honest people. You ought to live by principles. You ought to live by godly principles out of the Word of God. You ought to have standards for yourself, the way you'll conduct yourself, what you'll do, the places you will go, and just own and own everything. Hey, I believe they had some standards. So God gave Moses some godly parents. But not only that, we see godly provision made for him. First of all, we see that godly provision for God's people. The nation known as Israel was provided with a man, Moses. If anybody needed a leader, they needed a leader. And they needed a man who was unique. Moses was uniquely designed by God to lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt, take them through the wilderness, and lead them to the promised land. He was the one God gifted for that. God help him. He had a terrible job. He had to deal with the biggest complaining mob you can ever think of. And it was constantly complaining. But he dealt with it. And when needed, he would go to God and plead with God for his people. Hey, when God provided Moses, he was sent to fulfill God's purpose, to be that godly provision. I believe this with all my heart. God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for your life. Now, you don't have to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, okay? You don't have to do that, but God has a purpose for you. And sometimes I think we belittle the purpose we have in life. We don't think enough of how important it is. You parents that are here, what a purpose it ought to be in your life to raise godly children. Give of yourself to do that. I'm going to raise godly children. Do everything I can to do that. I mean, just go to it. You have a purpose. That's not a big thing. Oh, it is a big thing. Hey, had they not done that for Moses, Moses could have never been the leader that he was for Israel. But he had some parents that carried forth the purpose God had for them. God has a purpose for you. Don't ever downplay that purpose. It doesn't have to be in the spotlight. Doesn't have to be in the spotlight at all. But God has a purpose for your life. Make sure you fulfill that purpose, all right? He has a purpose for the individual person. God can provide for you. God provided for the nation of Israel, but he provides for individuals too. He can meet your need. He can provide for you in bad times just as easily as he can in good times. You know, sometimes we look at the scene in the world and we think, oh man, bad times are coming. You listen on the news and they start talking about, inflation. You grab yourself and you worry, you know, and you watch the price of eggs go out of sight. And you wonder, will I ever be able to afford to eat an egg again, you know? Well, relax. God can take care of you in the difficult times just as much as he can in the good times. He's not restricted. He's not enabled. You know, his ability is not hurt by the times in which we live. He can take care of you. He can get you through it. You trust him, all right? There was godly provision for the nation of Israel, but there's godly provision for you as an individual too. God can miraculously do it if need be. He can take care of you. He can provide those needs. So God took care of the nation of Israel. He'd take care of individual. Not only was there godly provision, but there was godly protection. You think about it. You ever think about what it's like to take a little child and put them in a little basket, if you will, waterproof basket, and set them adrift in a river? Man, the list of possibilities is endless. And most of them are bad. Mosquitoes. They eat you alive, okay? Flies. All kinds of insects. I don't know if you've ever been around water much, but snakes like water too. And they're there, all right? Plus you worry, is this thing going to sink? I've daubed it, but is it really waterproof? Is it going to sink? You said, well, his sister was there watching. Yeah, but had it started sinking and she ran out, that kind of defeated the purpose. So that wouldn't have worked. And in the Nile River, you do have to worry about crocodiles. So there you are, all of that. It was a dangerous place to be. Difficult place to be. But you know what? Only God can keep a baby quiet and then make him cry at just the right time. God can do that. And he kept old, you know, I've heard this said, and I'm sure you have too, that that baby didn't cry until they opened up the ark and saw him, and then he cried. And most women who are normal, there's a lot of abnormal in our day, but most normal women in our, a baby crying just does something to them. It doesn't make you want to turn it over and dump a kid in the water, okay? Oh, you want to reach out and pick that kiddo up. Oh, what's wrong with you? If you're a man, you take him by the leg, swing him around, and he'll quit crying. It's amazing. But, we're moved by that, right? God provided, God protected Moses. He put him there. Now, I think God, they used some wisdom where they put him, because I believe they knew Pharaoh's daughter came and to that area, but they were careful about it. And that little Hebrew boy was protected in Pharaoh's own house by his own daughter, the one who had told him, kill them babies. Got written in my notes here, it's like the fox raising the baby chickens. You think about it. There it is, all of that. But God worked all that out. God gave the provision for him. God took care of him. God protected him. There he is. Here's this Hebrew who was condemned to die before he was born. And God says, we can do something different than that. The amazing God working it out where his own mom got to be the nurse for him. You know, everything worked out, and she was paid to do it. Can't beat that deal, all right? Hey, with God, nothing's impossible. Nothing's impossible. You know, I say to you, this world's a dangerous place for God's people today. There is so much out there. There's danger in driving and highways, and people are careless, and folks, I watch people run red lights on purpose, you know. Sometimes I worry about stopping when the light turns red because I'm wondering if the fellow behind me will run over me trying to run that red light. It can be a dangerous place to live, but for the Christian it's dangerous. Man, there's temptation. There's temptation. There's so much false doctrine. Man, in years gone by, you had to look for it. Now it shows up on the internet. You don't have to look for it. It's just there. I got a package in the mail. It was addressed to the religious leader at this church. And it's from the Church of Scientology. And I looked through it. Matter of fact, I've had it for a couple of days. I opened it this evening, looked through it, and I thought, man, what a way to approach to get people sucked into false doctrine. Just sucked into so much false doctrine. Hey, world's a dangerous place to live. You can be a child of God. You can want to serve the Lord. But if you're not careful, man, you can get pulled aside and some of the rank heresies. They're out there. They're everywhere. They're put out. They're There's people out there telling us that God's through with the nation of Israel. There's folks out there telling us, hey, I'm talking about Baptist people that deny the Holocaust, say that never occurred. It's wacko what's there. But they have a following. They have a following. I used to catch him on late night TV, Dr. Gene Scott. I think he's dead. I never see him on TV or hear him anymore. And I hesitate to say I hope he's dead because I'm afraid he went to hell. But man, what false doctrine. I mean, just craziest things. Craziest things out there. The world's a dangerous place. It's a dangerous place for you and I as God's people. It's easy to get distracted. It's easy to get distracted. It's easy for us to get pulled aside from the purpose for which God's left us here. It's easy for us to get tied up and just making money and just trying to live, if you will. Don't let that happen to you, all right? You need God's protection, and He will protect you if you'll go to Him, all right? And then I want you to see this finally with Moses, the godly plan that God had for Moses. Moses was born, designed, created, motivated, worked, educated to fill a need. To fill a need. It's no accident that he was born at the time he was born. No accident. God knew what was happening to his people. Here he was. He was raised in the court of Pharaoh. Most people raised like that have an appetite for that. Okay? Most people raised in that situation, you say, what do you mean? I mean in overwhelming wealth. Most people raised in that get an appetite for that. Where we don't look forward to saying goodbye to it. There's only been a few William Bordens in life willing to turn their back on a fortune to serve God. But the Bible tells us that about Moses, that Moses, he was willing, all right, to turn his back on it, and he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. Why? God put him in there. His mom taught him. He was instructed. No accident he is born at that time. God put him there. He's there for a reason. We read about Esther over in the book of Esther where the Mordecai told her, you know, who knows except you're here born for a time such as this. Hey, did it ever occur to you that you were born for a time such as this? There's a need today. There's a need today for people to stand up for God. We listened to the missionary, Brother Shavers, talk about, I guess you'd put it this way, I look at it, the indifference of the people in Iceland to the gospel and to the Lord. Just indifferent. No big deal. I'll be honest, I see more and more of that coming here. More and more of that in our own land. Hey, because there's a need for us to step up as God's people. There's a need for us to be the witness we ought to be. Hey, you may not be Moses, but maybe you're raising Moses. Maybe you're raising Moses. Maybe you're a Miriam, okay? Maybe you're an Aaron. Now, Miriam, in case you're not familiar, was Moses' sister. Aaron was his brother. I'll say this to you. Moses would not have made it without Aaron and Miriam. They were great helps to him. Great helps to him. Hey, you need to stop and think about that. There's a purpose, and there's a need today. God designed you to fill that need, to meet that purpose, and to take care of it. God put you here. Well, preacher, I'm too old. No, you're still breathing, aren't you? You're not dead. You're not too old. Well, I'm too young, or haven't been saved long enough, and I don't know enough of the Bible. Well, you can learn, can't you? That's our job. That's our job, to educate ourselves, to learn and to develop the spiritual level in our own life that we ought to have. We ought to seek that. Seek to be able to talk to people. Say, I'm shy and bashful. Me too. You say, preacher, there ain't no way. Yeah, me too. Me too. I was a kid, man, leave me alone. I'm happy if you don't bother me. And you know, I was happy in my world. I've told you before, in school, the worst thing in the world I ever had to do was give oral reports. Hated them with a passion. To stand up and talk in front of the class. People I knew. And some of you said, I'd be horrified to have to do that. Well, if God wants you to do it, He can enable you to do it. He can enable you to do that. God help you to understand that. Hey, there is a need. There is a purpose. You're not here by accident. You're not here just because, well, my parents wanted kids. You're not here for that reason. You're here because there is a purpose for you. God put you on this world for a purpose. There's a job He would have you to do. Once again, you say, what is it? You need to find the will of God for you. Find it, look for it, and then give everything you've got to do that. I don't care what the job might be. I'll say it this way. If your job is to be the doorkeeper in the house of God, then I would do, if that was my job, I would say, ain't nobody going to do it better than I can do it. I will be the best. I'll do the best I can. I think we ought to have that kind of desire, that kind of drive. If you teach Sunday school, you ought to want within yourself to be the very best Sunday school teacher you can be. You should never be satisfied with the level at which you've done it. As a preacher, I'm never content. I never walk out of the church patting myself on the back saying, that's the best job I could ever do. Sometimes I think, oh God, how could it have been so pitiful? But man, look, we ought to have a desire to always strive to do better than what we've done before for God. It ought to be in us. Years ago, I remember at youth camp, Al Wells was a speaker, and he would tell us, he would tell those kids, God didn't make you to be mediocre. He didn't want you to be mediocre. He wants you to be better than that. There ought to be something within us to have a desire to do our best for God. God designed Moses. He put him in this world. He molded him and He made him. And Moses let God do that. And it's up to us to do the same thing. He'll protect you when you need protection. He'll provide for you when you need provision. He'll do what you need. But give of yourself and say, I will do the best job I can do. I don't know what God have for you. I have no idea. No idea what He might want you to do. But the question is, you're willing to do it. You're willing to say, Lord, here am I. I'm yours. I'll do whatever. You show me, I'm in. I want to fulfill your purpose for my life. I want to fulfill your purpose for my life. You don't have to quit your job. You don't have to necessarily go into another career path. But God can use you right where you are, doing what you do. God needs people that have your abilities. You just need to be sure those abilities are surrendered to the Lord. Totally, fully His. Are you? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you tonight and ask you to help us. We're your people. Lord, we're your servants. We're your children. And Lord, and I pray we'd think about Moses and what you did with him and for him.